episode 77 of the Furlough Bros Tech Podcast. Today is March the 17th, 2012. I'm Matthew Dean Furlough, and this is my leprechaun hunting brother, James Furlough.
That's right, I am. And yes. I will admit that I did not wear green, and I almost punched two people who tried to pinch me, which is why I don't wear green.
It's weird that we both have the same rule. Because I don't feel like this is one of those like our like weird brother connection. We've never talked about this, but this might actually be the first time we've ever talked about this. But if you punch me or if you pinch me, I punch you. Like, and I don't wear green. And everybody's always like, "You can't punch me." Exactly. Everybody's like, "You can't punch me. I pinched you, and you're not wearing green." I was like, "I'm not punching you because it's St. Patrick's Day." See, this is the Irish in us coming out. St. Patrick's Day, it's white. it's a good week. Did you do anything special for the celebration of the day after St. Orhor's Day?
You know, I've been preoccupied by one and only one thing all week.
The podcast.
Yeah, very very closely related to the podcast. Yes, actually.
Nice. What's that?
How I prepare for the podcast.
Oh, no, dude.
Has been weighing heavily on my soul.
Yeah. Well, we will talk about that at length. As we talk about all sorts of stuff, because this week, like every week, we will be talking about technology and the continuing corporate opera, or the soap opera of corporations, dealings back and forth, the people working for them, their marketing campaigns, and, of course, the technology they're developing. Before we get into the heart of the show and we talk about Google Reader, James has got a short disclosure.
What is it? I work for HP. However, I do not represent HP or any of HP's opinions.
That is good. If you want to follow us throughout the week, we have a couple of social media connections. I am on Twitter at Matthew D. Furlough.
And I am at James Furlough.
Nice. And the show is at Furlough Bros. You can also go to furloughbros.com. That's a good website. We've got all sorts of fun stuff there, like a really cool logo and interesting fonts and color schemes, things of that sort. Also, there's some articles. And, so go check it out.
You can subscribe to our RSS feed. Oh, wait.
Oh, yeah.
Never mind.
Yeah, that's right. Hurts a lot. Thanks,
ouch.
Google. If you do that. And usually at this point in the episode, we say, you know, if you like this show, we'd appreciate you sharing it with your friends. That always helps. Word of mouth is the most powerful tool out there. But I'm reading a book that says that's wrong. We've got to do other stuff. It's called Contagious. And when I... Well, they don't say it's wrong. They just don't say it. They say it's not very respond to that. So thanks, everybody. Thanks for not doing that. This book is claiming that you don't. I'm just saying. But I'm actually – it's interesting. It's about like why things go viral. But hopefully I will use what I learn in order to make this show the most popular show in America. It's my goal. It's my
– All right.
It's going to happen. Anyways.
And so, Bill Gates had a crazy goal and he was able to do it. So we can have crazy goals too.
Exactly. That's right. We're the next to Steve, Gates.
We're next to that guy.
Wow. Anyways. So what's going on this week?
We'll start off with the smaller stories, okay?
Yeah.
Which, honestly, I will admit, I probably spent just as much time thinking about this as I did thinking about Google Reader.
All right.
Which is the City Day Sims.
Yeah.
I'm going to let you do the run-up into it since you posted the article first.
All right, thank you. The SimCity, we talked about it a little bit last week, mentioned it briefly, I think. The new one came out.
Briefly, real briefly. We just mentioned it.
It's number one, it is a very fun game. We've played it, and all the naysayers out there that are complaining about DRM, don't buy the game. Nobody cares. Nobody likes you
okay.
anyways.
It's all right.
I don't know why everybody has to get so bent out of shape. goodness gracious, people like to complain. Anyways,
one and stay off that, of North America West 3.
Yes, seriously.
You're at it.
Please. There's still room. within the SimCity universe, we were told that one of the reasons why it requires the always-on internet connection is because they do all sorts of fancy juggling behind the scenes on the servers. They do more than just saving your game file and managing your friends. No, they do complex calculations, which everybody was like, why? It seems like it'd be pretty easy to put that sort of stuff on the computer. and they came back, were like, no. It's, you don't understand how cool it is. It's like the coolest thing that's ever been thought of, and we made it wonderful. Well, people, like, in the first couple of days had gotten source code chunks, and there's just a huge amount of JavaScript and stuff, and people were actually pretty impressed, like, on the first pass, like, oh, it looks nice. And then this one dude got a developer's version of the game, mm-hmm. and it turns out it has a little switch where you can turn off the internet connection. Game runs fine. There's nothing. It just keeps running. And then when you turn the internet connection back on in settings, because in the developer's edition it's a settings thing, it'll automatically save your city. so he can play offline. And he's like, yeah, so the game is definitely online capable, which of course has let everybody.
So it only, so just to make offline. Sure I understand that right, it only saves the game, or you have to be online to save the game.
Yes.
But you don't necessarily have to be online to play the game.
Not at all, yeah. So it's the servers aren't doing anything, as far as we can tell, other than connecting you to other...
It's managing the global market to make sure those prices actually change, which they haven't.
Yeah. At all. Is that what they say it's all about?
Well, they claim that the global market prices that we sell for is all going to be based off of supply and demand. And so, theoretically, they should fluctuate, which is why they say... You know, if you don't just sell oil, also sell plastic and fuel to balance out shifts in your sales prices because, you know, one of them may not always be the cheapest based off of the supply and demand going on in the game. So, you know, of other cities buying and other cities selling, theoretically, I've been playing it for a few hours and have not noticed a price shift at all.
Yeah, and the game moves fast enough. You'd think that's something that you'd want to at least fluctuate. Maybe not big swings, but at least small swings on a relatively regular basis.
On a monthly report, and, you know, give me graphs too, because that could be really interesting in another layer of the game where you're, like, trying to figure out the futures of literally of raw goods. And have it just on a daily, maybe not daily, okay. It could be a game daily basis. It, you know, in terms, you know, it does like every 24 hours, which I guess is a month. I haven't figured out why they do that. The game plays every 24 hours, but they call it a month, not a day, which I'm like, why? Just call it a day. It's all right.
I'm totally confused by the 24 hours in a month. Thing.
24 hours in a month. Yeah, that's how it works. Or you just like, just give me, it's 30 days.
Well, what I like about it is the idea that, you know, is that this is your monthly income report, which is what it's always been. But at the same time, like, they basically, you know, they have like the day and then the evening. We are so far off right now. Let's get back to what it was. We got so much to talk about today. So anyways, one of the big deals about this offline mode is the thought that if somebody builds a cracked version where you can download it, you can borrow it from the internet for free, instead of having to connect to the servers in order to save your game where they will prevent you from playing, you could theoretically at this point build a cracked version that would actually allow you to save the game locally and therefore allow people to pirate it and play a pirated version for free, which is the whole point of making everybody upset in the first place by having always online connectivity for a game that people don't think
you
should.
That's so dumb. I mean, all that means is that on all of the torrents, there's just going to be the dev version. That's it.
Yep. I know. Well, that's exactly.
And someone will figure out how to save it natively, so you don't have to connect to the server.
That's exactly what everybody's saying, and that's what's going to happen. And the other frustrating part about it is, like, we had talked about the idea that because they were claiming that they were doing other stuff on the background, like other calculation parts, the idea was that really made it easy to develop other platforms because you could build a very lightweight version of the game for like the iPad that would run the same thing, because all the heavy lifting of trying to figure out what your like Sims are doing and stuff is all done server side, is what they were like implying, and it turns out that's not true at all. So it's like, I don't know. It's sort of, I mean, it's not that big of a deal. Once again, if you don't like the policy, don't buy the game and then be quiet. It is a strategy perspective from a company. Like, I just don't think it's a great strategy. I don't know. I mean,
It's weird. There's definitely some, not 100% of the truth is being told with us, which is annoying.
It's just annoying.
Call it what it is, EA. It's okay. It's, people who like it are going to like it.
Yeah. And I feel like people, I feel like if they had just come out and said, we're doing this as an anti-piracy thing, and we think it also improves gameplay, which is basically what they said. I don't know. I mean, their problem was the story got away from them because they wanted to make it, because everybody's like, so what advantages does it give them? And they were like, I want to say it allows you to do cool things. And, you know, like, thanks, EA.
It's probably something cool ridiculous. Things. Like, when it started, it made sense to make it on the server, and then all of a sudden they realized that we live in 2013 and all of our computers can actually run the algorithms just fine.
Yeah.
And that the heavy lifting is the graphics, which has always been, and you can't do that over a server. And so they were like, we could just put this on the machines. It actually would run better doing it that way. Just thought you guys should know that. So, the other things that I read about is just there's some glass box wonkiness going on, specifically with populations and traffic and stuff, where they just haven't quite got their. It sounds like this will improve over time, but like one example is like a sim does not. It doesn't live in the same place. It doesn't have like a home and a job. It literally be like, okay, it's time for the sim to go home. It will go to the next available home. And if it's time to go to a job, it will go to the next available job.
Wait a second. I've heard people complaining about this, but my first thought on that was, yeah, that is kind of weird. And then I started thinking about it and thinking, you know, I realize this isn't true for everybody, but I think one of, you know, there are some weird parts of it, like, you know, you could one day suddenly have your power plant, powered by complete morons, and if you have a nuclear power plant, that becomes a very big problem very quickly. But the reality of it is, your population flows. They live in different places.
Fine, Mr. Smarty Pants. I don't think it flows that much.
And you can build an entire skyscraper in 4 hours. I mean, come on.
That part of the game.
that doesn't cause me frustration. But it's it once again.
Well,
you know, this game is all about
the point that I was getting to.
Okay.
It was the promise of a complex system that my goal was to optimize. Just like it was a promise of it so complex that it has to be run on servers. Come to find out, no, it's not. It's fairly simplistic in the way that it's all done. And that's the annoying part. Which, again, I'm totally okay with saying, hey, look, it's a simulation. It would be ridiculous to try to mimic the real world. Yeah, there are certain simplifications that had to be made. We put priorities on water and electricity and not as much on the, you know, population part in terms of how it works. If you know that apparently the numbers are also kind of wonky, I'm okay with that. They try to cover this stuff up, and they tried honestly to make the game seem cooler or more complicated perhaps than what it actually is. But the game is genuinely fun. So they should have come out and said, hey, look, we get it. This isn't the most complex thing ever, but it's ridiculously fun. So enjoy.
Right. And the other thing is, I mean, there's a part of it that's like, I actually think that people are like, I'll be totally honest. I actually think that's unfair. I think that the game is unbelievably complex compared to the other ones. Like, it actually, like, Sims have to deal with stuff. And one of the things is, and this is all about, like, they're building strategies, like, or they're building systems that require different strategies. It's like, you don't want stupid idiots to power your power plant and melt down your entire city. Well, then
which
have a smarter
happen,
population.
Which is kinda cool.
No, that's, yeah, it's actually happening in one of my cities right now. My power plant is off because it's
actually
happened.
Not cool.
Yeah, it's
wait,
really annoying.
In our shared region, you're
no, the other one.
Okay, good.
I just turned it off because I don't know how to prevent it from melting down. I think I just have to destroy it, but right now it's not doing anything, so that's fine. But
off.
Yeah, and I already was producing so much oil that I turned on, I built an oil power plant, and now I got plenty of power.
Boom.
But, what I think is interesting about it is, like, it requires a completely different strategy in how you educate your populace, because what it basically does is it basically says you need a smart population, which is true. You know, if you're going to build – this is going to be off. If you're going to build a nuclear power plant in the middle of Stockton, like, expect it to melt down, because you're just talking build it in the middle of, you
wait,
know –
Wait. Isn't Stockton where you went to get your higher education? I don't understand.
Yes. Well,
so
I'm
what are
just
you saying,
I know a lot of stupid people from there. my professors were rarities. They were diamonds in the rough. Is what I'm saying.
Okay.
But you know, but I mean, the simple truth is that Stockton has a low education level, whereas like Los Alamos, for example, has an unbelievably high education level. And so you're I don't know. I just sit there and I shrug my shoulders and I say, yeah, it's not perfectly realistic, but it's actually, it's relatively realistic and it's super complex if you compare it to the other Sim cities.
Yeah. I'm with you. And I hope that they do free automatic updates that improve the complexity over time.
Yeah.
You know, along with a warning, hey, P.S., this is really going to mess with some of your cities.
Yeah.
You know, just so you know, the trick isn't going to work anymore.
But that's so common in games nowadays. I mean, that's like part of the fun of a game is trying to figure out the rules that the developers built into the game so that you can, you know, so you can optimize based on rules that they didn't tell you existed.
So you can game it.
Right. And yeah, exactly, and that's what they did. This is so ridiculous.
That's okay.
I feel
all right.
This is
I'm with you. You've convinced me.
But my bigger thought on the industry on all of this is that there is such a impetus to dislike EA that it's like, generally speaking, like these aren't problems or they're actual like game designs. Which yeah, fine, you disagree with, but it's like seriously, like why I don't. Oh gosh, I don't understand. Why everybody is so bent out of shape on this. Like, man, we are so friggin' finicky. Like, just anything goes wrong and gamers freak out. Like, it's not perfect. Yeah, it's not perfect. But for games that you love, you'll put up with it because, you know, whatever. Ugh. Anyways.
I'm with you.
Let's talk about something else. I'm angry.
All right, all right.
What do you want to talk about?
Here's some good news. Here's motivation for you, okay?
Yeah.
Because I know you've kind of been in the just go to the page. Because I know that you've been a little bit on this kick, okay? So this is just going to fuel the fire for you in a good way. You remember a few weeks back I was talking about an app called Mailbox?
Yes.
Where you had that wait list and you had to get in and stuff like that. It was just a better way, I guess, of handling Gmail, even though there's some things that they should really fix, like server-side search would be really nice.
Yeah.
Do that one sooner rather than later. So they've been out for a month now. So I guess it was probably 4 weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago since we talked about it. And they were just recently bought by Dropbox for a cool $100 million.
What? Oh, my gosh.
We need to build an app.
Absurd. Okay, I got it. I have one. I'm not going to say it on the show because I'm actually, like, started to work on it. You're going to like it, though.
I mean, it's not like – it's not Instagram, $1 billion with a B dollars.
Yeah, but still, you're not going to – watch the rest of your life if you don't want to. I mean,
wait, say that one more time.
Not going to work a whole lot for the rest of your life if you don't want to with that kind of money.
Yeah, I'm just jealous.
That wait list was a brilliant idea.
I'm on another wait list for a calendar app right now because someone was like, it's amazing. That one is not nearly as fast. I started at like here. I've literally been on this wait list for over a week, okay?
Yeah.
When I started, I think I was around like 32,000, okay? A week later, I'm down to 10,000.
Oh, wow.
I'm just like, come on, guys. Just let me in. Let me try it. The best part is there was another calendaring app which purports to do very similar things, which we talked about on the show, Sunrise, which there was no wait list, and it's working just fine. But, you know, calendars are important enough. I want to try – since I was in the trying out a bunch of different calendars, I was like, all right, fine. I'll try this one. Like 2 weeks later, apparently. Ridiculous. But, yeah, mailbox. They okay, let's just be clear here. They don't handle the email. Google does that.
Yeah.
They don't handle the tags. They don't handle your contacts. They don't handle that. They literally are an IMAP client for Gmail. Okay, we'll even back this up a step. They don't do Exchange. They don't do Yahoo. They don't do Outlook. It's just one. Now, yes, you can connect multiple accounts, multiple Gmail accounts to it.
Yeah.
It's literally an iOS only. Let me be more clear about this. It is iPhone only.
Yeah.
Like window dressing, which don't get me wrong. I like it. I use it. I enjoy it. It's also free. There's no ads. $100 million.
Yeah. Yeah.
They've been available for a month. I think it took them a couple years to actually make it, and they had a couple other product flops before they got to it. So, you know, it's not like they're overnight.
Honestly, I think the smartest thing they did was the waitlist. I mean, you got a cool product, was a good idea, but the waitlist is it's the idea that nothing draws a crowd like a crowd. You know, they basically faked the you know, excitement and demand. Man, that is like, it's, you know, honestly, like, some of the biggest clubs that you go to, the most hopping clubs where they make tons of money and they get all the, you know, pretty people, the biggest thing that they do is they stop people at the door, so there's always a line. For whatever reason, people want what they can't have, you know, and having a line, gosh, that is so, you know, especially if you can get a little bit of a buzz, a little bit of excitement, and you can get a couple of tech blogs talking about it. Oh, there's a line over there. And all of a sudden, everybody shows up, and the line gets longer and longer and longer
So I'm with you there. In terms of the speed, perhaps.
Yeah. But
more fundamentally, what they did was they picked a very popular pain point, and they focused very narrowly on just fixing that. Like I said, and there's certain things about it that is missing, which is annoying, like server-side search, which anytime I have to search, I go to Apple's original app to do it.
Right.
Because there's literally just doesn't. And, you know, so things like that. But what they did was they picked this one pain point, which is people with really long inboxes that it's just hard to get through, and they figured out an easy way to sift and sort through all those. And so they, you know, they identified this need and then just focused just laser-like on this product. And so when I'm thinking about it, I'm like, okay, what is a need that people have where you can just do this one thing really well that's just a pain point? Apparently Instagram was one of those as well. It's hard to share photos with friends or put filters on them or something. I don't know.
See, that's my thing. And honestly, this is the tough part, is that sometimes these apps take off and they're not that brilliant. I mean, they're really not.
I think with Instagram, they became popular because it's fun, and Facebook brought them out of fear. Whereas I think Dropbox was more of a, no, this is actually really cool. We're not necessarily intimidated by you. I'm not even sure how they plan on integrating them, if they do at all, other than they were just like, no, we think this could be this could be pretty cool, which I actually wouldn't be surprised to see Mailbox come out with a freemium model now, because that's how Dropbox works.
Right, and Dropbox is pretty, I mean, they've
got server-side search? Buck a month, don't worry about it.
Right. And Dropbox has gotten very good at what they do, and now they're starting to act like Google and Facebook in that they've got a lot of server space, and they're wondering what to do with it. You know, so they're looking to expand they're looking to maximize the effectiveness of the capital expenses they've already made, because, you know, storage is cheap and they want to be able to use it. So, not the amount of storage they have. That's not cheap. So they've paid a lot of money and they want to know how to use it. And I think I think you're going to start to continue to see Google Dropbox do that more and more, either, you know, buying other companies and just expanding their portfolio. Because the truth is that all of a sudden somebody, you know, right now they are the predominant, you know, sharing system, but that doesn't mean that Google and Apple won't suddenly decide to really take them on with a similar product and a gigantic marketing campaign and just, you know, beat the snot out of Dropbox.
Yeah, maybe. You know. Dropbox has some, you know, they've talked about some of this stuff. I mean, that was part of what they were like, Drive, that's going to kill Dropbox. And it didn't, which is okay.
Well, yeah, but it's not really Dropbox. That's the thing. I mean, it's not a folder on your computer that just does, you know.
Well, Drive is now. You literally can download an extension just like Dropbox and drag files in and out just like normal.
I've had that Drive folder forever. I didn't realize you could put anything in it.
Yeah, which is nice. And then you can view it online and stuff. So, I mean, so it has it, but they just, like I said, it can do it and it just hasn't taken off. But anyways, congratulations, Mailbox team. You win by $100 million.
Yeah, that's awesome.